appreciate what has gone before. Brother Mark, that puts a lot of pressure on me when you tell him you had three more places to go. I'm thinking, I hope I have one. Appreciate being here. Have looked forward to it, and I beg that you continue to pray. Brother Mark went to one of my favorite verses. I've tried to quit saying that this is my favorite because I say that a lot, but right now, this is my favorite. Romans 8:32. From the very beginning of my, I don't remember when, but it was early in my ministry, that a phrase in this verse just popped out at me. And it just stuck with me and just rings in your ears. Romans 8:32, as brother has talked about as him delivering up Christ, he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not? Right there. Those four words. How shall he not? Yeah, four. Make sure it's not seven, but those four words say so much. Years ago, when I went to college, I was not a good college student. I was so bad at it. I'm going to college right now. I'm 40. I decided to make another run at it. I think it's going better. But I was not a good college student, and we won't get into the reasons why. But my wife, she is a good college student. She's naturally smart. But there was one class that we both took, and I did better in it than her. That was philosophy. Introduction to logic. I don't know. I'm a philosopher, I guess. She made a C, and I made something, you know, an A. I made an A. It was so good, a girl asked me to help her study. And I thought, what is going on? But in that class, they had these, I can't even remember what they're called. But these charts where if A equals B and B equals A, then A equals C or something like that. A and B and C. And I just look at this verse and I see the logic in it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not? The world will tell you, different beliefs will tell you that he offered him up to you. But I tell you, when you look at it, and look at what that sacrifice, that God who said, who declared when Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The same voice came to them while they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I tell you, we can look at our relationships. I've got three kids. One's with me. He's my favorite today. But I tell you, you look at how much you love your kids. But my love is tainted by sin. I'm just a man, but I tell you, God the Father's love is perfect, so perfect that in fact, he is the definition of love. God is love. There's some logic for you. God equals love. God is love. I tell you, we can't ever understand how much he loves us, but we can never understand how much he loved his son, but yet he spared him. And he delivered him up for us all. I tell you, when you see that sacrifice, it makes sense to say, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? No, it wasn't free to him. It was a dear price, but to us, it is free. Oh, free grace, may it ring through all the ages. May there be a group of people that preaches free grace. I believe there will be a group preaching free grace when the Lord comes back again. Oh, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things? I believe it's those things pertaining to our deliverance, pertaining to our redemption, pertaining to our salvation. He gave them to us. Look at that. Look at the sacrifice. You can't tell me that my actions can negate so great a sacrifice. That doesn't make sense. That is not logical. I tell you, the Lord gave up the ultimate sacrifice. How shall he not follow through with it, if you will? How shall he not see it to the end? How shall he not yet doth deliver? We trust he yet will deliver. I tell you, it'll be all the way through. Freely give us all things. Tells us a few verses up. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ah, Brother Mark said, talking about those first fruits, I've looked a little into it. And I love it. It's just that it represented the crop. And he's the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Past tense, his brother. These things. Then he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I need that. I need that. There's times when the devil himself couldn't convince me that I'm not a child of God. But there's times on the flip side, when you can't convince me I am a child. Why? Why me? That doesn't make sense. I'm wretched. I tell you, we go through that. That's our warfare we're in. And I get this false feeling that, you know, as I get older, maybe it'll get easier. Then I look at Brother Mike. No, sorry. The only way out of this warfare is the final deliverance. But in the meantime, we're fighting it. We're going, maybe we're flying through life up I-35 at 80, and then you hit Waco. And it's just, you come to a screeching halt. That's a lot. That's the thing. That's... I had a lot to think about in Waco. A lot of time to think, I mean. And I thought, how in the world am I ever going to be able to preach?
after this, because I don't like I-35 when it's like that. But, you know, since we're here in the 8th chapter, let's go back to the 7th chapter. I have recently, I guess early on I was like, okay, I've read the 7th chapter. I've read the 8th chapter. I've read the 9th. Well, it's good also whenever I can say I've read the letter to the church at Rome, or to them at Rome. Because it wasn't written, this Romans wasn't written in chapter form, and I'm not saying it's wrong that it is in chapter form. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's good to look at it from an eagle view, if you will. That this is what he wrote. And I like to get into the behind the scenes, if you will. What was he thinking? Now, no doubt, this is divinely inspired. But I believe the Apostle Paul was feeling these things when he wrote them. And he writes in the 7th chapter of Romans, where do I start? Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I'm trying to condense. For the good, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is the man that wrote most of the New Testament. I'm glad he wrote this, because it helps me. More than that, I'm glad he didn't stop here. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. I didn't even remember Deliver was here. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Question mark. I thank God. There's the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. End of chapter 7. I see the Apostle Paul right now, as it says in the end of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, they that wait on the Lord, they shall now renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagle. I tell you, what I see right now is the Apostle Paul struggling to get off the ground in the 7th chapter. Just struggling with his sin. Struggling. He doesn't feel any deliverance. He even cries out, who shall deliver me? Oh, but I tell you, if we look, we can see now the Apostle Paul's about to get off the ground. And I think he's going to fly through the 8th chapter of Romans, because right after he says that, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No, that's not telling us if you're doing good that you're all right. No, if you've ever done good, you walk after the Spirit. If you've ever pleased God, that's because the Spirit of God is in you, and you are able to walk after the Spirit. But don't we? Maybe on Tuesday we walk after the flesh. Maybe on Sunday, I hope at least, please, Jeb, if you got to preach, be in the Spirit. He just went through that. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then just two verses later, there is therefore now no condemnation. I believe he was feeling some condemnation over there. Maybe, I don't even know. Maybe he had to take a break between here. Maybe he came back to this letter a few days later. That's supposing, and that's dangerous, I know. But there's definitely a change. A change of attitude, a change of mind. I believe a deliverance right there. We can forget. We forget so much how the Lord has delivered us. And we forget the cost of that deliverance, which was His deliverance. Ah, but we can go through this. I try to, when I'm in the valley, just wait on the Lord. I see pastoring people. I got a brother at home. Baptized him a couple of years ago. Had a pretty rough life before that. But I watched the change happen. But now what I'm seeing right now is the temptation. And it scares me, and I know it scares him. Who went to see Jesus right after he was baptized? The apostles? The disciples? The sisters? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If you hear someone preach that you join the church, everything's going to be great, you go somewhere else. Because that's a lie. The devil's, he can't have your eternal life. He can't. The Lord told Job, you can touch his flesh, but you can't touch his life. Tells us in 12th chapter of Revelation, the great accuser of brethren who was cast out. He has no audience with God, but he has an audience. He can come to you, and he can take the joy of your salvation away here and now. He can make you forget. And 2 Peter says, if you forget these things, you forget that you are purged, or, and you, he that lacketh these things, that's right, is blind and cannot see afar off. We can get there. But keep going. Keep pressing through the 7th chapter of Romans. Get to the 8th chapter. Where there is now no condemnation. And keep going. And then it tells you in the end, where I started, he that spared not his own son. You know, the truth of Christ is simple. But it's not simple until the Lord blesses you to see it. Then it's like, amen. How can not anyone see? How can you not see this? I believe it's hid in its simplicity. But how simple is it? He that spared not his own son, but delivered us up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything? This chapter, right after 7th chapter, where he cried out, O wretched man that I am, it started with, there is now no condemnation. And there's a lot of good in here, but we'll end it with the ending. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What follows the seventh chapter? Here's some logic. The eighth chapter. But we go through seventh chapter moments in our lives when we feel the effects of our sin. But thanks be to God for a timely deliverance that the Lord sends us, that He sent Paul to pen these words, that right after he said that, he said, there is therefore no condemnation. And he ended it, nothing can separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.